It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And this is certainly a very, very impressive and overwhelming time of the year for a phenologist. I had 93 notes this week. Among them, the yellow birch is leafing out, the balsams are breaking bud, the horse chestnut is leafed out, red oak and bur oak are both leafing out, and they are about a week ahead of leaf out in the case of both the bur and red oaks. Sugar maples are in flower. Those are those beautiful chartreuse, yellow-green trees that you're seeing sort of isolated here and there, unless you happen to live in a area where you have a forest of sugar maples, in which case you are probably overwhelmed by chartreuse right now. The silver maple are at leaf out. That is, I can see the leaf stems as well as the ample seeds that are produced. Red maples are also, the red maples are just starting to break bud. And if you look carefully, you'll see these little green dots amongst either the red seeds of the female maples or the clusters of dead red flowers of the male maples. So lots of tree activity. If you set your eyes a bit lower than that, you're going to notice that the hazel brush has leafed out, both beaked and American. Blueberry is leafed out. Pincherry, the flower buds are open. No flowers yet, but the buds are apparent. Choke cherries are at leaf out. That is, I can again see the leaf stems on the leaves of the choke cherry. Plus, the flower buds are there. Choke berry, same thing. Lots of leaf out, lots of flower buds. Nanny berries, the leaves are on the nanny berries are almost half-sized already. So they're really coming along. That typically is around the middle of the month. So that's 4 days early or so. Staghorn sumac is leafing out. Winterberry is beginning to break bud, and that's a week ahead. Bush honeysuckle is leafing out. Fly honeysuckle is probably at peak flower right now, and that's a couple days late for peak flower. But if you're out in the woods, look for these low shrubs that are fairly green right now, fairly advanced in their leaf out, and they have these double yellow flowers, and there are lots of them. Red elderberry are about a quarter of the way to having full leaves, and they also are covered with their flowers. Their flowers are starting to spread a little bit, so they're looking a little less like broccoli now, more flowerheadish, but still green or purple. I haven't seen any that are sort of whitish yet. My forsythia is in absolute full bloom, so it is gorgeous right now. My rosebush is in leaf out. Pagoda dogwood has leaf out, and flower buds are present on the pagoda dogwood. So there are lots of shrubs as well as trees that are ready to go. There should be a lot of flowers in a few weeks. The Juneberry began to bloom on the 9th, and the average is the 13th. Now, the interesting thing about the Juneberry bush is that it flowers synchronously. So if you have a Juneberry, all of the flowers are going to bloom on the same day. You're going to see these clouds of white. And I expect that anywhere you look in the next day or two, you will see these bright bushes that are filled with white flowers. And those are going to be Juneberry. The other plant that blooms right about the same time as the Juneberry is the wild plum. And the difference between the two is the Juneberry is going to be kind of an individual plant here and there. And the wild plums often grow in thickets, so there'll be lots of them strung together. And if you get right in there and look, the plums have a little bit of pink on the blossom. The petals of the blossoms are a little bit fatter than the ones on the Juneberries. A few days after the wild plums and the juneberries bloom, we should start to see the pin cherries blooming, and following the pin cherries will be the choke cherries. If you're not looking at shrubs, if you're looking at the ground, among the flowers that are in bloom right now, sessile-leaved bellwort, large-flowered bellwort, large-flowered trilliums. The bloodroot is sort of at the end of its bloom. Wood anemone is blooming. Hepatica is probably getting close to the end of its bloom. The white violets and the spurred or sand violets, the blue violets, are in bloom right now, and both of those are within a couple of days of their average. Pennsylvania sedge is blooming right now. Among the plants that are up but not yet blooming, a nodding trillium, jack in the pulpit, a wild columbine, Canada milk vetch, Mayflower, the Canada Mayflower, and the several of the horsetails are coming up, and they're probably the Arvents or field horsetail, and this one comes up, sends up a spike, kind of flesh-colored. It's got a sort of a spongy, I don't know, the top looks a bit like a, oh gosh, like a candle flame. It's kind of tapered, comes up and tapers, and if you look carefully at it, it's sort of a whole series of little dots going up each side, and that is the fertile stem. That will disappear after just a few weeks, and it will be gone altogether, and the sterile stems will come up and replace them. So the horsetail is up right now. And speaking of horsetail, it's not actually a flowering plant. It belongs to the ferns and lycopodium and that cluster, the lycophytes, I guess they're all called. But the horsetail is in there, and then of course among the ferns that I'm seeing right now, ostrich fern has just begun to come up. Interrupted fern is up pretty tall. Lady fern is up. I have actually seen lady fern completely unrolled. Depending on where you are, if you're south of us, these are probably a little bit further along. If you're north of us, probably not this far. But interrupted fern, I have some that are 12 to 14 inches tall. They haven't completely unrolled. They aren't unrolled to where you can see the sori, the little spore-producing parts of the interrupted fern, which gives it its name because, of course, they have a They come up, there's some, let's call them leaves, but technically that's not what they are. But in our world, let's just call them leaves. There'll be a series of leaves going up the stalk, and then there's an interruption in the stalk. And the sori are going to be darker green and not at all like the leaves that you're going to see below and above. Hence the name interrupted. The ostrich fern, by the way, the interrupted fern is covered in a kind of a white fuzz, and it is not edible, so don't pick that one. If you're looking for fiddleheads, those are the ostrich ferns, and the ostrich ferns are deep green. They have a sort of a bronze covering on them sometimes, not always, but sometimes there's a bronze covering on the ostrich fern, and the really easily identifiable feature of the edible ostrich fern is that if you break it off and look at the cross-section of the stalk, it's shaped like celery. It's a deep U-shaped stalk. So dark green, no fuzz, deep U-shape, that's your ostrich fern, and that's the one that's edible. I hope that you'll get a chance to pick some and enjoy them. They're every bit as good as asparagus. Moving to the birds, I have seen my first orioles. They were about 4 days early. My first hummingbirds, about 5 days early. I had a Harris sparrow in my yard. The rose-breasted grosbeaks are back, and they were just about on the date They came back. I saw my first one on the 9th, and the average is the 9th. So they're right there, right where they should be. I have seen the baby eaglet. He peered at me over the edge of the nest the other day, just looking out at me like, what's that? And mom was there, and they're used to me, I guess. They don't frighten, and they don't run, or she doesn't fly off. But Papa's been making a lot of trips to the nest, pulling in a lot of food for them pretty steadily all the time, and the eaglet is getting bigger and bigger. So far, I've only seen the one. I suspect that that's all there is. I don't know that there would be two, but I will certainly keep my eyes open, and I always hope for more, but heck, if they can grow one to adulthood, that'll be success. The other excitement for me was going down to the lake. I found a loon, and a year ago, a loon came in, in April. He called and called and called and never attracted a mate, and in mid-June, he disappeared. And this year, a loon came back and called, and apparently he attracted a mate. Now, this mate may not be experienced, because she has made a nest right out in the open water. Now, the lake that I live on is really shallow, and she's probably in 6 or 8 inches of water, but she's piled up some debris there, and she's sitting on eggs in this nest along right in the wide open. And I guess the only saving grace is that this lake is very quiet, and hopefully any of the people who live on the lake will see and respect her privacy and leave her be. I walked out, saw her, and immediately kind of disappeared back into the bush and then looked at her through the brush. I didn't want her to feel alarmed. She was 100 yards away, but she is literally right in the middle of open water. There isn't any vegetation within 100 feet of her. So I hope for her success, and I wish her the very best. The other thing that I've been seeing this past week, and a couple of experiences with little baby painted turtles. Well, the painted turtles, this time of year, these babies are from last year, because mom hasn't come up and laid this year's eggs yet. And when she does, it takes 80 to 90 days for those eggs to hatch. So these little tiny turtles that you're finding that are the size of $0.50, they're last year's eggs. And they spent the winter in the nest. Somehow they were able to freeze and recover and emerge this spring. And I had two reports, one from my good friend Kyle Pearson, and he said there were several wandering around and he had to watch his step. And the other was out with one of my groups of students, and we discovered one that had been killed. And, oh, they were so sad. And they gathered together and buried it, and they sang a little version of na 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 na, hey hey, goodbye. It was touching. they put the poor thing to rest. If you run across one, hopefully it'll be alive, and you won't have to go through the work of burying it. Other little critters that I came across, I saw my first infant moth. This is about a month after I usually see them. Now, maybe I just haven't been in the right spot. Maybe I have been and I haven't noticed, but the infant moth looks a lot like a butterfly, except that it's got it's a moth. It's very small, maybe an inch and a quarter wingspan. The one that we found was cold, and it sat in my hand and shivered until it warmed up enough to fly away. I also saw a clouded sulfur butterfly. I saw my first spring azure butterfly. The spring azure is that little blue one that comes out from the chrysalis this time of year. It is the first butterfly to emerge from chrysalis and begin to fly around. And I also saw a dragonfly. And this time of year, this was not a darner. Most of the dragonflies I've seen up to now have been the green darners. This one, I believe, is either an emerald or a basket tail. I didn't get a good look at it, but it was in the woods, and it was medium-sized and fairly dark. And Dallas Hudson, if you're listening, let me know. I think it's one of the emeralds, but it is one of the first dragonflies to emerge from the water in the spring. And I saw one today, Sunday while I was out walking around. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. If you have observations to share, please get in touch with us. We would love to hear from you.
That's the Phenology Show with John Latimer. You hear it here on KAXE. John is away today. Charlie Mitchell is joining us right now. And I just wanted to note my phenology note that the first singing on air by John Latimer I have ever heard.
It's a monumentous day.
Yes.
Indeed.
Yes, it is.
And all for a painted turtle funeral. I feel like that's a good reason to mark the occasion.
Yeah, and it got to him. You could tell.
Mm-hmm.
Nature and all its stories. That's what we get to hear here on KAXE.